You join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Robin's stuff up here. Happy Covenant Sunday. Happy Pentecost Sunday. We are here today because of these words. Receive the Holy Spirit. And today on Pentecost, we heard two different accounts of receiving the Holy Spirit. In one story, one I think we're very familiar with, people receive the Spirit and suddenly they can understand each other in the languages that they're speaking in, even if they're not their own. The first people of the church are drawn into this understanding across their ethnic and geographic boundaries as one body. But we heard another story that offers us another picture into what the Holy Spirit does when the Holy Spirit shows up. After the resurrection in the Gospel of John, Jesus appears to the disciples and he breathes on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says this: if y'all forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If y'all retain the sins of any, they are retained. Well, well, that is something. And in case we miss the implications, we only need to back up a verse for the preface to understand what is being said. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. We're witnessing the next leg of a relay race. The Father passes the baton off to Jesus. Then Jesus passes the baton off to the disciples. But y'all in this means that the next handoff is to us. It is to you. When we receive the Holy Spirit, according to John, whatever sins we forgive as the ambassadors of Jesus are forgiven, and whatever sins we hold on to, they are held fast. Yikes. John is not the only one in making this kind of assessment about the Spirit-empowered community. You may remember that Matthew was on the same page. Jesus announces to the disciples, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Sounds familiar. Bind and loose. These were terms given to the Jewish leaders of the day to describe how they ordered community life. As you can imagine, within the Torah, there's a lot of gray area. For instance, work is prohibited on the Sabbath. But what counts as work? The activities that were restricted were the restricted, were the bound activities. And the things that were allowed were loosed, bind and loose. But rather than this being the domain of a certain select group of leaders, like the priests, our Anabaptist forebears heard this as the work of the community, of every baptized member of the church. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we figure out how to live life together. And I will tell you that this feels like a dangerous power. I am convinced I do not want to be responsible to decide who is and who is not forgiven. I am absolutely uninterested in setting up systems or rules for how we do things as a community. And we also know that only God can take away sins. It literally says that in John. Here comes the one who takes away the sins of the world. But there are some things that do mean a lot to me in this story. And I'm guessing, because you're here today, they might be important to you as well. Because today we learned that the Holy Spirit empowers us with the ability to forgive one another and to determine what the shape of that forgiveness looks like. The Spirit also works within us to discover the sins we hold fast as a community and the ways we need to reckon with the harm that we've caused to one another. to retain something doesn't mean that you hold on to it forever. It doesn't mean that we keep going over them and over them, but perhaps it does mean that we take our time with them. Perhaps we take our time with the ways that we've harmed one another in our world, in our community. Before we say, oh, everything's fine, don't worry about it, we're reminded that the Holy Spirit lets us look carefully and see what we want to be for and with one another and how we can take seriously the work of repair among us. If you've been around RMC at all, you've seen inklings of this kind of spirit-empowered community at work. When we take communion the week before, we pause to discover how can we be a body together, united in Jesus, for real, for real. When we worship, as we will in just a second, we talk to each other so that we can figure out how to do this life together and what it means for us. And once a year, today, we take time to remember that we've said yes to showing up for one another, to showing up for worship, to redistributing our money and our time. That is very complicated. There actually is no rule book, no checklist. And in fact, the only things that we've been given are the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and each other. That's it. And somehow, miraculously, Jesus tells us that that is enough. This is all we need to figure out this complicated, challenging, heartbreaking, beautiful redemption of being human beings, learning to love God in the world. This is a scary verse, and it's also one that offers us so much hope. And so for our sharing time today, I wonder, what do you hear in this community that is empowered for forgiveness and accountability? And what makes you nervous about that? What gives you hope about it? As we live as this community empowered to do this really difficult thing together, what are you hearing in the scripture today? I'm going to come around with a mic, and if you have something to share, I welcome you to raise your hand and we'll hear back from our community about how we're discerning the scripture today.
I'm John. And struggling with the scripture. To me, we also, and I thought you might go there since you've written the book, about loving our neighbor and loving our enemy. And it seems like forgiveness is always the better route, the one that we're supposed to choose somehow. But at the same time, we see people in our world that are purposely trying to hurt other people. And how do I reconcile forgiveness when we see people continuing actions that continually hurt people? It's a difficult passage, a very difficult passage.
Thanks, John. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, good morning. I'm Joe. And when I hear people say no amnesty for undocumented immigrants, I often think of this, the condition which Jesus put on us that we will be forgiven, and that is that we will forgive others. Well, if God gives us amnesty, how can we deny amnesty to any other people?
Anyone else have something that's on their heart today?
I just read this week in Anabaptist World that there is a, I forget the college, but one of the Mennonite colleges had had some outside help in looking at their policies and their patterns over the past, where victims of sexual violence in the college environment have been pressured to forgive. And there was more emphasis on that than on measures to hold accountable the perpetrators of that violence. And they've, you know, they've acknowledged that and are taking steps to listen to and also to even toward reparations for that damage.
Yeah, I think Heston College is that college. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, David. Yeah, yeah, that's an interesting that that's happened this week as we're encountering this verse. Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
As we're processing what our community looks like, how to hold one another accountable, how to love well, how to be led by forgiveness. I'm reminded that Jesus announces his presence to the disciples with the word peace. Peace be with you. Oh, that peace cannot come without the difficult and holy work of finding our way back to one another. That peace requires holding our mistakes and harm until they can be washed away and forgiveness built on trust and honesty. And so, Raleigh Mennonite, I remind you that what is offered to us today is peace. The wholeness and the fullness of Christ that comes with forgiveness and accountability, that comes with a life that lived fully in understanding of who we are, but also of who we are ultimately in Jesus. And so it is the Holy Spirit, the bringer of peace, who invites us to receive this hope today. Amen.